Today is March 25th, 2021. I'm your host, Jared Holt. This episode is all about the union drive happening with Amazon employees in Alabama. The drive is coming to its head on Monday, so there's no better time to dive in. I'll speak later in the program with labor reporter Kim Kelly, who's been on the ground in Alabama covering the unionizing efforts. She'll walk us through the journey these workers have been on, the allegations of inappropriate behavior from Amazon that some have called union-busting attempts, and what this moment means for the company and for the future of tech and the economy. Let's dive in. Nearly 6,000 workers at an Amazon fulfillment center in Bessemer, Alabama, have been casting ballots to decide whether they want to associate with a union, the retail, wholesale, and department store union, to be specific. These votes are due Monday, and although it's impossible to know yet whether workers at this center will indeed vote to unionize, the moment is historic. Workers at the fulfillment center are demanding better working conditions and better pay. Though employees at the fulfillment centers are paid $15.30 an hour to start, their jobs are grueling and they are under constant surveillance. There have been a steady stream of stories coming out of these Amazon fulfillment centers regarding the working conditions. It includes allegations that workers are denied bathroom breaks and have to urinate in bottles while they work, that they are expected to meet breakneck quotas, that they experience a higher likelihood for injury than other warehouses, and that they aren't afforded breaks that are long enough to offer any sort of relief. Some have compared the conditions to a type of high-tech sweatshop. And it's not that $15 is a cruel wage, despite how it may sound, but compared to workers in other warehouse settings that are comparable, it is on the low side. The fight, ultimately, is about dignity while working for a company that's engrossing itself in the billions of dollars off of their achy, sweaty backs. The Washington Post, which is owned by Amazon's founder, Jeff Bezos, calls it the largest labor battle to take place on U.S. soil. If successful, this battle could inspire the other hundreds of thousands of Amazon workers across the U.S. to seek similar worker protections. Talking to the Washington Post, Richard Trumka, president of the AFL-CIO, described Amazon as a great white whale that labor organizers have sought to tackle for years. In the past, organizers and employees have accused the company of crushing prior unionization efforts in places like Chester, Virginia. Regarding that case in Chester, Amazon eventually had to settle with the federal government. The fight around this union drive has been as much of a roller coaster for workers at the facility as it has been a spectacle for the rest of us who have been watching on the sidelines. In a surprising move, the union drive at Bessemer's Fulfillment Center attracted support from Republicans like Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. And I should note here that the GOP is not, particularly known for their support of organized labor. Rubio's column supporting the drive is a bit disingenuous and misses the mark, by a fair shot, but that's neither here nor there for this episode. The union drive has captured the attention of broad swaths of the political arena for reasons that Benjamin Wallace Wells details in his article for The New Yorker this week. He writes, "Amazon's influence is so vast, touching on issues from wealth and income equality to antitrust policy, the American relationship with China, the omnipotence of workplace surveillance, and the atomizing effect of big business in its most concentrated and powerful form on families and communities, that it can scramble ordinary politics. For a moment, at least, it can put Marco Rubio and Stacey Abrams on the same side. Most organizing campaigns have a symbolic quality, in which the employer and its workers stand for different models of economic organization. The fight in Bessemer is different because it is so direct. Amazon isn't a proxy for the future of the economy, but its heart." Throughout the union drive and its voting period, Amazon has played hardball at seemingly every turn. The Washington Post reports that the company has gone so far as to post anti-union flyers in bathroom stalls. The company has tried and failed to delay the union vote. They tried and failed to require in-person voting despite the persistence of a pandemic that has already killed more than 500,000 people in this country and has been texting its workers anti-union messages. It's not surprising that Amazon is anti-union. They've made that much clear in the past. But even still, this is a bit much. Some reporting has stated that the company has gone so far as to request that the county change the traffic light patterns in front of the warehouse to keep organizers who've been handing out union info at the light away from workers coming and going from the facility. This unionization fight is happening against one of the toughest companies in one of the nation's toughest states in one of the toughest periods of time to be an essential worker. Joining me after the break is Kim Kelly. She's been reporting on the ground from Alabama for the pro-labor outlet More Perfect Union. She's also in the process of writing a book about labor. Kim has been on the show before, and she's one of my favorite reporters covering labor issues. We're going to talk about Amazon, but I also highly encourage you to check out her other work, too. But before you bring Kim in, I want to play some audio from a video that More Perfect Union put together. It features some employees that work at that Amazon fulfillment center.
If I had the opportunity to talk to Jeff Bezos face to face, I would really want to ask him, have he ever worked in a warehouse before? Have he sweated for 10 to 12 hours a day and not being able to go to the restroom when he needed to go?
In the issue of working conditions, I'm very proud of our working conditions.
They got cameras. They watching us all the time.
It's a lot of walking. It's a lot of fast pace. It's a lot of climbing upstairs. It's just a lot for the human body.
It's tiring. It's consistent. It's fast speed. It's unsafe because you consistently working fast pace, 10 hours, only two breaks.
They getting treated like robots, and it's not fair because even robots break down sometimes.
All right. Well, Kim Kelly, one of my favorite reporters covering labor, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I have so far escaped the wrath of the tornadoes that are tearing across Alabama right now. So I suppose I don't have too many complaints at this moment in time.
Yeah, you told me you're hunkered down and it's just like rain everywhere. If we're lucky, we'll get some like soothing background white noise during this conversation.
I like rain. It's just all the screaming weather alerts on my phone are kind of ruining the tranquil vibe. It's weird, man. It was doing this the day that I flew down here last week, too. I think I was like the last flight to get into, one of the last flights to get into the airport. And it is definitely a different kind of weather than I'm used to up in Philly.
Oh, I am sure. So you're in Alabama covering this union drive that's happening at an Amazon fulfillment center. It's, you know, periodically in and out of the news. On Monday, the deadline is hit for ballots to be cast. If you had to describe this whole situation in a single word, what would that word be?
Intense.
Intense. Why do you say that?
It is intense. And it's intense not in purely in a good way or a bad way. There's just a lot of emotion and a lot happening, a lot of action. You know, the fact that we are so close to the vote being finished like that, you would think this is kind of like the things would quiet down at the end. But they really haven't, because there's still workers that haven't voted. There's not a ton, but there are still, you know, drips and drabs, more ballots coming in. We have tomorrow, well, today's Thursday, so whenever you listen to this, tomorrow for me, Friday, we have this, like, three big names coming down. We have Bernie Sanders, we have Killer Mike, and we have Danny Glover are all going to show up to this little rally situation tomorrow to talk to the workers, and I think people are excited about that. And, you know, Amazon has been Amazon's always in the news, but they haven't they've been, you know, they've engineered such a super intense anti-union campaign, and they've only pulled back so much as they legally have to. And I mean, legally is a strong word for how their behavior has been.
Right.
There's a lot going on. I think, like you said, it's been in and out of the news because people are kind of like, you know, will they, won't they? But there's still that on the ground organizing. There's still all the canvassing. There's still people and workers in the union hall every day, like dealing with everything that comes with this. There's like film crews. There's a film crew from Japan here the other day. It's still pretty wild, even if it is coming down to the wire.
So this is getting international attention. That's safe to say. But, you know, you've been covering this for a long time with a depth that I think is missing from a lot of coverage. So can you take us to the beginning here? You know, as much of the horse race is going on, like, how did this get started?
It all started with one worker who decided that it was time to do something about the conditions they were dealing with. There's a man named Daryl Richardson. You might have seen him in a couple different articles, like his face is out there. He's a 51-year-old man who comes from a union background. His former workplace was unionized, so he kind of had that knowledge already when he came to Amazon. But he got here, he saw what it was like. He started talking to his coworkers, and a small group of them decided, you know, okay, let's try to make this happen. And Daryl, it's so funny. He's like, yeah, I just went on Google and I typed in like how to start a union.
And classic.
For real, as you do, you know.
That's all it takes.
Which is why labor journalism is important. But you know, that's just a plug for my profession. But and he found the RWDSU, retail wholesale, something something. It's a very long union name. Whatever, you can Google that.
Retail, wholesale, and department store union.
There we go. I should know that. I've got so good at saying RWDSU that like my brain is blanked out on the rest of it.
That's what happens when you write for a living. It's okay.
Yeah, just thinking in acronyms. There's only so much space in my brain. It's like this and then just like random death metal songs. But he found them, and they already have a history in this area. There are a lot of unionized poultry plants in this area, in this part of Alabama. And warehouses and other workplaces where that there is, you know, they do have a presence. So it made sense for them to reach out to them. It made sense for them to get involved. And of course, the union was excited because this is Amazon, you know, like this is a chance to go up against the giant, the richest man in the world, and to really help these folks who are dealing with, I mean, there's millions of articles at this point about how horrible the working conditions are, about the things that these workers have to deal with. As you know, Bezos is just getting richer and richer in his Scrooge McDuck mansion. So all of these things kind of culminated, came together, and they started working on putting this whole union thing together. And the union was not, like RWDSU, they did not anticipate interest to be as high as it was. Like, they showed up, and when, in the very beginning, there were 1,500 workers at this facility. So they were looking at a 1,500 worker unit. And Amazon has flooded the employment roles. They've hired so many new people in the past few months in an effort to kind of stymie the union drive. There's now 5,800 people working there. And so when RWDSU showed up to that initial meeting with Amazon with their petition looking to unionize, they showed up with 3,000 union cards. So there's already a ton of interest, right? Like, that was double what they were expecting. Amazon was like, oh, shit. And then started this, you know, this brutal union-busting campaign. So between that moment and where we are now, it's been a ton of just organizing, of person-to-person interaction, of communicating with the workers, of the organizers making phone calls and canvassing and allaying fears and countering misinformation. There are people, the organizers of the union, who are standing out in front of the facility every single day with signs and with information, trying to talk to people in their cars. Like, it's been a very long, there's been a really intense ground game, and just it's been a long slog. Like, every day is something new. And it's ramped up in the past couple of months specifically because the ballots went out for this mail-in election on February 8th. And the workers have until Monday, the 29th, to get them in. And Amazon has pulled out every stop imaginable and also invented a bunch of other bullshit to
I've been reading stuff, and we'll talk about it in a second, that like I didn't even think about existing as far as union busting goes. But before we get to the bad behavior from Amazon and this like insane uphill battle, you've been on the ground talking with people there. Can you kind of speak to what this unionization effort means to the nearly 6,000 workers at this fulfillment center, and also what it means to the community at large, because, you know, this part of Alabama is not a densely populated part of Alabama.
Right. And this is my second trip down here. I was down here for 2 weeks in February, too. So I've really gotten to know a handful of the workers and the organizers here. And the most common refrain that I hear, no matter who I'm talking to, is that, you know, of course we need to be paid more. Of course we need better benefits. Of course we need more breaks. But the biggest sticking point is that they feel like they're not being treated like people. They feel like they're being treated like robots or like animals, you know. They're not allowed any dignity in this work that they're doing. And that is the biggest thing they're fighting for. They're fighting for dignity. They're fighting for the right to thrive, not merely to survive. You know, Amazon likes to tout that, you know, we pay $15 an hour to start. We're this great, wonderful place to work, like the minimum, which is double the minimum wage in Alabama. But there are already other unionized workplaces, warehouse work, poultry work, this kind of, you know, intense physical labor that are already paying way more, like multiple dollars an hour more for kind of the same work. So Amazon isn't even really living up to their side of this perceived, you know, bargain of like, oh, we're going to run you into the ground, but we're going to pay you well. Like, it's not even, it ain't like that.
But, right. They're trying to like equate this $15 and change minimum wage to like what you would make as a supermarket cashier getting Alabama minimum wage. But warehouse work is different work. And as far as warehouse work goes, $15 an hour isn't really that competitive. It's not like you can go other places and get more money.
It's like $10, $5 to $10 less than UPS. Like, this is very hard labor. Like, people's bodies are breaking down. People are getting sick, of course, from COVID, too. But people are working their fingers to the bone for the bare minimum. And Bessemer is one of the poorest cities in Alabama. You know, it's a predominantly black city in a predominantly black area, predominantly black workforce. Like, there's like a racial justice component here, too. And people, they connect what's happening here with the union drive to the civil rights movement, because this is Birmingham. You know, this is an incredibly important site for that struggle, and they are all interconnected. I've had multiple workers talk to me about how, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he was a union man. He came down here to stand, or well, he was in Memphis, but, you know, one of his last acts on earth was to speak to and stand in solidarity with a group of black sanitation workers who were on strike. Like, there is such a long legacy here, and there is that long, long battle for basic dignity and respect that workers are still not getting. And it seems like they're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
So you've been on the ground there. Does it seem like there's a broader support in the city of Bessemer for this drive, or is it kind of a microcosm of this fulfillment center? I mean, I can't imagine in a city the size of Bessemer that this fulfillment center isn't like the thing going on, right?
There are a couple other things. Like, there are other warehouses that are out here. I mean, I know that the city of Bessemer's leadership, they actively lobbied for Amazon to come here. Like, they wanted this to come here and to bring these jobs. And that's understandable given the economic realities of this area. But in terms of the union, I mean, we see just driving around Bessemer, and especially in Birmingham, you see pro-union signs. There are people canvassing every day. There are, you know, the Birmingham DSA and Socialist Alternative, and then local church groups, local unions. There is it's really beautiful, like the outpouring of community support of people in this area who are like, we're with you, we want you to win. This matters to us too. Like, it doesn't feel like it's just, it's not just the union versus Amazon. It kind of feels like it's this entire area versus Amazon, because of course not everyone is pro-union, but enough people are where it seems like it's really making a difference.
So let's get into some of the different, we'll call them allegations of bad behavior that Amazon has been conducting during this whole unionization process. At the top of the program, I briefly just like kind of touched and goad on some of them, everything from changing traffic light patterns to putting flyers in bathrooms and texting employees. I mean, how bad is it? I mean, it's hard to wrap my head around it. it almost doesn't seem legal. And I'm wondering if at the end of this, Amazon will have to settle with the federal government the same way they had to settle after that whole ordeal in Virginia with them.
This is my own opinion here, but I certainly think that this vote will not be the end of all this. Like, there will certainly be legal challenges. There will certainly be, you know, I'm hoping at least there will be repercussions for what they've done here, because there's like a spectrum of union busting, right? Like, some things you can get away with, it's like pretty much legal. Some things are very much not legal. And Amazon has been running the gamut. Like, they kind of started out slower, if you will, with like just the regular anti-union propaganda, like propaganda, like union busting, like the playbook, like anti-union flyers and banners all over the facility and like on the closed circuit TVs and in the bathroom stalls. Like, they have their little anti-union website, Do It Without Dues, which is just embarrassing. They have, you know, they've been inundating workers with anti-union text messages. There are, it's just in this area, like if you're just online doing whatever, there are targeted ads that are anti-union ads for Amazon that just pop up. Like, there's all that, which is like, yeah, you can get away with it. There's the closed audience meetings where basically workers who are only given a few minutes break for every 10-hour shift, they have all the time in the world to spend in a classroom being lectured by anti-union consultants about why unions are bad. Workers really didn't like that. And that's legal up to a point. They had to cease some of that really blatant activity when the union election started, because there's rules. But the thing that they've pulled most recently that is just it's so egregious that they don't even care anymore. Like, they have placed this mailbox in the parking lot.
Oh, I think I saw like something very briefly about the mailbox. Please tell me about the mailbox.
I knew about this for a little bit before it was like the story came out. They want to focus on the election. Like, they don't want all of Amazon's nonsense to be the focus, but you know, there's reports everywhere, so things come out. But so this mailbox, Amazon installed a mailbox in their parking lot, right in front of the entrance. There's a little tent with like some goofy imagery on it, and they've been encouraging their workers, like, hey, come drop your ballot off in this mailbox. Like, this is just do that, it's easy. Just, did you drop off your ballot yet? Put it in this mailbox. And the thing is, one of the things that I've been chasing around down here is trying to figure out who put the mailbox there and who has the keys. Because Amazon asked the NLRB, National Labor Relations Board, can we do this? And they're like, no. But the mailbox is still there, and we don't know who has the keys, and we don't know who's collecting the ballots. We don't know who has access to it. There's a lot of questions around this. And actually, I was with one of the lead organizers for the union just the other day, a day or two ago. We actually went down to the Bessemer post office to try and talk to the postmaster, because he has been ignoring all their emails and their calls. They've been trying to figure it out, but they've been stonewalling them. So we showed up and we met the postmaster, and they called the cops. So we didn't get any answers, and we got kicked out by basically the same police who were patrolling the Amazon lot, because it's not a very big police force. I saw some familiar faces. It's very much...
I can't say that instills confidence.
You know, the postmaster just kept directing us to just call this person, she'll talk to you about it. And that person was like a corporate like spokesperson who's based in Florida. So they know who put the mailbox there. They know what's going on, but nobody else does. And it's not kosher, I would say. But I guess that's something that will be discussed potentially in a more legal setting after the votes are tabulated.
Yeah, but, I mean, I just think it's definitely just immediately suspect anytime, you know, your workplace who has spent, you know, presumably months at this point trying to indoctrinate you out of unionizing for, I don't know, basic standards of working conditions or higher wages. And then they just turn around. They're like, you know what? No, you should vote. And we've set up this convenient mailbox and a tent for you to go drop off your vote. Like, I just on its face, it just doesn't seem right.
it's kind of funny too, because they have there are billboards that Amazon has on the drive from Birmingham into Bessemer and in the area saying vote. They don't say vote no. They save the vote no stuff for the banners inside the warehouse, which I like scurried up on top of a table and kind of peeked in and got to see some of their anti-union stuff in the flesh. But it is funny. They're like, vote, make sure you vote. Did you vote? Like, there's managers going around checking with people. Oh, did you vote? And they really want people to put all their ballots in this one place. And it is very strange because, like, the workers I've talked to said, like, why don't you just drop it in a mailbox? Like, you don't need to bring it to work. Like, that just
yeah, it goes to the NLRB, right?
Yeah, it goes to, I think, a local office in, I think it's in Atlanta down here. Or Birmingham. It's like a local southern office. But it's like, it's an extra step that looks really sketchy. And there's cameras everywhere. Like, you can see cameras that, you know, that are trained on this structure. And it's just like, it's just so brazen and so creepy that workers have already been dealing with all of this nonsense for months and months. You know, I heard from one former worker who quit because they just couldn't handle being bombarded with this stuff all the time. You know, it's just, it is one reason why elections should not be this long, because it gives the boss that much more time to screw around and try to tamper with the result.
Well, despite all these uphill hurdles, I mean, and there have been plenty of them, this union drive has gone through. You know, votes have been cast or will be cast up until Monday. And, you know, despite all of the, you know, difficulties and roadblocks that Amazon tried to topple down in front of these organizers, they did the damn thing. And we'll find out, you know, I guess soon enough how that turned out. My question is, you know, regardless of the result, you know, just the fact that this happened in an Amazon fulfillment center in, you know, the behemoth, in the New Yorker, they wrote about it as like, this isn't, you know, Amazon's not a stand-in for the economy and tech. It is the economy and tech. You know, this is taking on the great white whale of, you know, mass employment. What does that say? Like, what can we take away just from the fact that they were able to get this together and push it through despite all of the different ways that Amazon tried to inhibit it?
I mean, I think it's a massive testament to the amount of determination and the amount of resolve that the workers here have to do it, you know, to win this thing, to secure better working conditions and better wages. Like, they want what every worker wants. But they had to face so many challenges, not only the fact that they're going up against, you know, this modern equivalent of a Gilded Age robber baron consortium. Like, they're also in...
Yeah, this is like unionizing against the Rockefeller.
Yeah, this is like Standard Oil vibes, you know? Like, that's Bezos is a modern day robber baron. And you
no,
know,
no production, just vibes.
Bad vibes, such bad vibes. But I mean, the fact that they're doing this here, like, much has been made of the fact that it's happening here in Bessemer, outside of Birmingham, Alabama. I think hopefully the perception has changed thanks to a lot of good reporting around it. But I think there's this initial assumption, like, oh, this is happening in Alabama, like in this red state that's like Republican and right to work. Like, that's not going to work. But I mean, Alabama has, I mean, the union density here is commensurate with anywhere else, if not a little bit better. I mean, it has a very long labor history. All of the coal mines here, save for one, are unionized. Like, this, at its peak, I think Alabama's union density was 25%. There was such a massive manufacturing and extractive industry here. Like, Bessemer itself is a union town. Like, it has that history. So I don't think we should be surprised it's happening here. But I think we should be grateful that it's happening here, because even with all of these challenges, even with all these hurdles, the fact that they've gotten this far is just incredible. And that's going to be inspiring to workers in other places. I mean, there was a Bloomberg piece that came out the other day that said that RWDSU had gotten calls from like 1,000 workers across the country asking, you know, how can we do this? Like, how can we be next? Right? Like, even if they don't win, and I do think they will, but even if they don't win, they if they lose this battle, they've kind of already won the war, because they've just started, they found some chinks in the giant's armor, and more people are going to keep chipping away and keep chipping away. Eventually, someone's going to take that fucker down. And the fact that it started here, it just makes it even more inspiring.
Yeah, and I think it's helpful. Like, from my perspective, it's like, it's not even that like one individual Union tribe will take down Amazon, right? You're talking about a David and Goliath situation, but David is like a caterpillar and Goliath is like an asteroid falling from the sky. But, you know, I'm hoping it sends the message and wakes people up that like unionizing is historically, you know, less so because of a lot of terrible things our government did over the years, but less so now, but unionizing in the workplace into asserting your rights and your expectations as workers is as American as apple pie. And it's something that everyone can do in their workplace and have the legal right to do, you know? So I'm hoping that at least kind of wakes people up and helps people remember this, or, you know, see it done successfully. Now, if this does go through, if we're going to look into our crystal ball for a little bit and the vote goes through, this fulfillment center is organized, it's got its union. You said earlier you don't think it's going to stop there, but, you know, what is that going to say if they're successful?
If they win, that's just going to open the floodgates, I think. I mean, if they can do it here, they can do it anywhere, right? Like, every major change, every major shift, it all starts with one event. It starts with setting a precedent. And if they set this precedent, they show, like, okay, they did it. This is possible. This is doable. Here is a blueprint. Other people are going to pick up on that. Like, there are a lot of Amazon workers in this country, not just in the warehouses, but the drivers and delivery people, like the people that work in their big, scary, weird cloud computing fortresses. Like, there are a lot of Amazon workers. I think aren't they like the second biggest employer in the country after Walmart, who also made a
game? Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Right. Like, it's so much bigger. That's the thing, like you said about Amazon. It's not just David and Goliath. It really is, you know, the caterpillar versus Venus or something. It's so big. Amazon has kind of wended its way into every aspect of our lives, even like the internet, like the whole cloud computing thing. Like, Amazon owns the internet and the government uses Amazon shit. Like, there's no escape. Like, we can't escape Amazon at this point, but we can collectively force them to behave a little bit better, or to get them to or force them to share some of those eye-popping profits that they reap in. Like, one person can't take down Amazon, but there's more of us than there are of them. Like, there's only one Jeff Bezos. There's only a handful of executives there. But there is a lot of Amazon workers out there. And once you set that precedent, they're like, oh, we can make a difference. Like, we don't have to bow to them just because they're big and rich and mean. I think that's going to be really significant. You know, it all starts with one.
Yeah, it's, you know, the story is about peeing in bottles during shifts because they don't have enough time to go to the bathroom. You don't have to do that. You can collectively assert yourself and say, this is ridiculous. We're not putting up with this. Now, I would be remiss if I let you get out of here if we didn't talk about that just fucking face plant that Amazon PR tried to pull last night. What happened, Kim?
This was like a 1-2 punch, too, which made it even better. This guy, this jagoff, Dave Clark, I'm not sure what his job is specifically. Whatever it is, it's fake and he makes so much money for it. An Amazon executive dick. He decided he was going to be tough and cool online. And I guess he was responding to the fact that Bernie Sanders is coming down here to show support with the workers that Dave Clark exploits. And he did a tweet being like, you know, I've often said we're the Bernie Sanders of employers, but we are.
Oh, yeah, right.
Place. And it was just touting that, saying like, oh, we are $15 minimum wage. Brr, 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 brr. And the dunking was just incredible. And people like that, like hundreds, if not thousands by that point, of people were just layup after layup, having a great time on Twitter.com. And in the midst of people yelling at him, this entity, which I didn't know it even existed, but this entity called Amazon News, it has a blue check, so you know it's real, They sponsored this congressperson, Porkin. I can't remember his name. Sorry, man. But yeah, this congress guy was just like responding to all that. And this Amazon News account responded saying, "You don't really believe all that peeing in bottle stuff, right?" And it was trying to be like, trying to flex, but like, look how cool we are. Like, these are great jobs that we give to the people that we grind into dust. And just having this Amazon branded PR bot or whatever, this poor social media manager trying to be like, "Oh, you don't believe all that, that to piss in bottles." And then the entire internet was like, "But they do, and here's pictures of the piss bottles." Like, it was just a spectacular self-own.
And then Ken Klippenstein came in this afternoon with the like leaked documents where it's people within Amazon being like, "Yeah, they piss in the bottles, and we also found some bags with shit in it too." It's shit and piss, so it's funny, but it's really not funny.
No, God, it's just so dystopian. Like, especially after hearing people talk about it, like talking with people who deal with this. Like, I think in that particular context with the piss bottles, that's perhaps more of a issue that the drivers have to deal with. But there's still people here in these warehouses that have to walk across a space that's basically the same size as Buckingham Palace just to take a piss on their 15-minute break. God forbid you're pregnant or you have, medical issues, or you need to change your fucking tampon. Like, there's a lot of things that human bodies require that take more than 5 minutes on a break on your 10-hour shift. It's just people are treated like automatons instead of flesh and blood beings. And I think they're fucking sick of it. And everyone else is, too.
So I've been talking with Kim Kelly. She's a excellent reporter on labor. Go check out her work. Kim, you're going to get the question every guest on this show gets before I let you out of here. What's your favorite thing on the internet?
I'm going to out myself as being like a frail Victorian ghost trapped in the body of like a tattooed Amazon. But I'm very into loose leaf tea. That's like my little hobby that I have.
Go on.
And I spend a lot of time on Tea Instagram, which is the loveliest, most calming place on the internet. It's just nice people posting photos of tea and of them drinking tea, and like there's little like sip down Saturday or like Tea Tuesday. There's like cute little challenges that people do, and they just talk about this varietal or those flavor notes. And like sometimes, like my favorite little tea shops, like West China Tea, they do cute little tastings on Instagram Live. It's just, I even have a little tea Twitter, not Twitter, tea Instagram, where I do the same thing, and it's so nice. It's just really nice. I just really like tea and talking about tea and not thinking about anything else but dried leaves sometimes.
Oh, we all need something like that in our lives. Well, Kim, where can people find your work and your reporting on what's happening in Alabama?
Sure. Right now, I am down here for More Perfect Union, and we're doing a lot of video coverage. We actually had a piece. We had two things come out today. We just had something come out about a half hour ago about the police presence at the Amazon warehouse, which is a whole kettle of fish. So I'm doing stuff for them. I'm extremely online, to my immense chagrin. You can find me on Twitter at Grim Kim, which is my old college radio DJ name. And I've also been posting like some more personal updates and then reflections on what's happening here on my Patreon, which is just that/Kim Kelly. And if there are editors listening, I'm extremely freelance, so if you want me to write about this stuff, call me, beat me, I'm available.
All right, Kim. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show and letting us know all about that.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was my interview with Kim Kelly. Please go check out her work. She does amazing reporting on labor issues, and I always learn a lot from her pieces. That's going to do us this week on Shitpost. If you liked what you heard, go to the podcast app of your choice. Give us a good rating. That helps us a lot more than I know how to put into words as far as people being able to find the show. And if you really like the show, you can go to shtpost.substack.com. If you sign up there, give a few bucks a month, you'll also get access and early access to a bi-weekly newsletter and articles that are published there. This has been March 25th, 2021. Take care.